Okay.
Oh, I think I know where to start.
Oh, whoa.
I think I know where to start.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
You're down for whatever.
You down for whatever?
Yep.
Okay, so.
Adjust my nuts.
I'm gonna leave it in there.
Well.
So, do you remember when I went on vacation in Mexico?
Yes.
And we went out to dinner.
Okay.
So first they started asking, the question was like, if you could do whatever, and I don't remember the question exactly verbatim, mm-hmm. but if you could do whatever, like, what would you see yourself doing?
Okay.
And I said, like, having a retreat space, a place for women to walk around topless, plant medicine, like, the whole nine yards.
Yeah.
Go figure.
Yeah, yeah, tits out.
Tits out. Tits of the sun.
Yeah.
Titty tanning.
That's what we love.
Yeah. And so then I had brought you in and, like, how we would probably do something like that together and have men and their partners there mm-hmm. and talk about like sex and being with a woman such as myself, which is, you know, it's a lot,
mm-hmm.
a lot of challenges and like teaching. And then I brought up like how to like pleasure your woman and teaching like how you could teach people about retention.
Oh yeah.
Remember that?
Yes.
Okay. So I brought up retention. And
semen retention. Specifically, the semen.
Yeah, I brought up semen retention. And there was a lot, there was men at the table. And they were like, you mean like edging? And I was like, no. And I don't have a penis. So mm-hmm. I was like, wait, damn, maybe I got it wrong. But like, I know we have talked
right.
at length about semen retention.
Right.
And they were like, that's just edging. Like, there's no way that you can hold your semen. And I was like, well, Justin does it, and like that's a really big part of our, I feel like,
yeah,
a really big part of our sexual experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like you to share a little bit about sexual, I mean,
semen retention.
Oh wow,
we're really starting this from the beginning. I like it.
Look,
no, I'm down.
Let's
you know
get
I'm
spicy.
Down. I'm down to ride.
This is the Club Clinical Podcast. Today, we're stopping on the, this is 18 and up. Club, okay,
right.
Club Clinical. This is the 18 up for. So,
although I really wish as a young man that I had this knowledge from when I was starting to hit puberty, like that
fair.
I actually could understand. Like, this episode's still probably not for them, but I'm saying I wish somebody had talked to me about things like semen retention, self-pleasure, understanding your own sexuality at that time, because you have no fucking idea what's going on.
Okay.
You're so, just getting boners for no reason. You're
let's
like,
pretend you're at the table and someone uh-huh. like cut, because they cut me off and they're like, that's not, kind of like, you're a woman, you don't know what you're talking about.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, I do.
That's mansplaining.
Oh, such a mansplaining. And I'm like,
yeah.
I know what I feel, okay?
Yeah.
I know that my man goes round for round, pound for pound. okay?
We do it right.
So, let's pretend you're at the table
mm-hmm.
and they cut me off and they were like, that's just edging.
Yeah. Well, first of all, so for those of you who don't know, edging is you bring yourself as close as possible to the point of climax without climaxing. And if you can do it and not go over the edge, like there's this sweet spot where you can keep going for a while. That's edging. That's what they're talking about. But that's not the only way
okay.
to do it. So semen retention is you're literally climaxing
mm-hmm.
and holding it. Like using Kegel muscles. So like the same muscles that you would use to stop your pee is the way I would explain it to these guys. Because
yeah.
you know, can you stop your pee?
Yeah.
If you can stop your pee, you can actually do semen retention. But it takes a lot of time and practice to like find that muscle, hold that muscle long enough when you want a nut bad, right? It's like your body is like, no, I'm really trying to like shoot up the club. I'm really trying to bust, you know?
Bust up.
Yeah, and but you're like, hey, I hear you.
Right.
But this is what we're gonna do, penis. Like, this is where we're gonna go
so,
with that.
Last night.
Yeah, good times.
Good times, proud to the people.
Yeah.
Okay, actually, I wanna go back because
yeah.
they, like, it left me after that conversation being like, I don't know if I'm sure about what has happened
right.
between you and I.
Yeah. Because they're like so adamant.
They were so adamant. But this is the part that I want to relate it to. Because, okay, last night after we enjoyed ourselves.
Had a great time.
Yeah. And I jokingly was like, yeah, whatever you want, babe. But you need water. You need me to get you, like, you know, prancing around.
Right.
Being in that state as a woman, as a partner, I've never been in that state before. Well, here, yes.
Yeah.
But prior to you, no.
Yeah.
There was no need for me to be, or no want, no wish for me to be like, what do you need, babe? What show do you want to watch after this? Like, I was really feeling that last night.
Good. We watched Tarzan.
We watched Tarzan.
After that.
Like, but I was willing to watch.
What?
Oh. I was like, what do you want to watch? Anime, manga, that's But like, sci-fi, cool, I'm down. And we had this conversation recently where I said, I think I might have put it on Threads too, where I said that there is no way for a woman to truly be happy and truly be pleased with their partner if their partner can't make them climax and like sexually satisfied.
Right.
I stand by that. What do you think?
I think so too. Or you come to an agreement as a unit that, like, I don't get that here, and I'm going to go get that somewhere else, whether it's, like, sex tools or something. But, like, I don't think that you can, without a healthy sexuality overall, whatever that means for you, like, be fully fulfilled with your partner moving through. But ideally, it's coming from that person, pun intended, right? That would ideally... Ideally, that would be the case.
That would be the case.
Yeah, that would be the case. And so I would say for men, what I wish more men knew is, like, one, semen retention is possible. But the bigger picture when it comes to things like semen retention and pleasure is a real, like, focus and desire and intention and commitment to learning how to be with your partner, please your partner. And understanding, see, this is what, like, a lot of guys, they're there to get theirs, right? Like, oh, yeah, and I'm going to go and what do they say? Like, 7-minute average? That's bullshit. No, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about that. But anyway, it's like the focus, if you're focused on truly bringing joy and fulfillment and life to your partner, and you have a partner who is focused on the same, that is where you get the best experience. Like, I don't need to focus on my own pleasure in our sexual experiences. I get to focus on yours, and like mine, I'm good. I am well taken care of. Yeah, your coochie take good care of me. I can't say that. We said it's 18 plus.
Oh my god!
Don't bring me on here if you don't want the tea. This is the,
okay.
No, she take good care of me. So that's all I'm saying is that it sounds maybe like counterintuitive. But the way to my own pleasure is actually through a focus on your pleasure and your well-being. And you can take this energy and translate it to a bunch of different areas in life, like good business, right? Like, good business is you focus on the well-being of the customer, your shit's taken care of, right? Like, you're making money, you're doing whatever, because you're so obsessed over their experience, you know? And so, but like that, if you could bottle that in your sexuality and your sexual experience, like, I think it translates to so many areas of life.
I don't think this has to do with the 50-50 conversation. We're gonna leave that out of the equation because I think that conversation doesn't even like it take into consideration everything. Mm-hmm. But I want to also talk about me as a high achieving, well educated, all the things, you know, without you, could have everything, could have all of the things that I could ever want, could buy all the things. I don't think without this final piece or having that well-rounded sexual experience with you, that this could be possible. So that's the first point. I want this to be a beacon. Maybe if someone could send this to a man, a woman could send this to her partner and say, here, listen to this as a way for you to fully satisfy me, fully get that final part. Like, maybe everything else is great. really like sweet man, really considerate, makes tea, breakfast in the morning, mm-hmm. but the one thing is sex.
Yeah.
What advice or what could you say right now to get a man on that track to be able to be like, from, okay, like you know me where I'm like, oh my gosh, this man knows my body. Mm-hmm. I put it on thread. You had me tweeting / threading. Is that what you say? I don't know.
Threading, sure.
Threading.
Twittering.
Twittering. Yeah. I don't know. I was online.
Wow.
Talking.
On the internet.
I was on the World internet. Wide Web. On Beyonce's internet. Talking about how you knew my body.
That's good. Congratulations.
I know. Congratulations to me.
Right. We love that.
But thesis. I was... But I was like, yo, this man knows my body. That was in my brain. We weren't even speaking, like, with words that time.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that?
I do. Lots was said.
Lots was said, and I'm with him now.
Well.
Okay. Anyways. Anyways.
I told you, bring me on here. This is what we're going to get.
Okay. So what could you say to someone to, because I never thought I would be in this place. Because I was married to a woman before this. I was mm-hmm. like so good without penis. Mm-hmm. I don't care about it.
Mm-hmm.
Married a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Now I don't know how, there was no way that I would be fulfilled. This is not a sexuality conversation.
Mm-hmm. But for you.
But for you.
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah.
And if someone was to be able to give this as a tool to their partner, be like, hey, babe, can you please listen to this? I love you and I believe that there is another level that we can unlock.
Mm-hmm.
What could you say?
That's really good. So I would say speaking first to what you just said, I think is a very key in terms of the energy from the woman. We're using this as a mm-hmm. woman-man partnership. What you just said about, hey, there's another level to unlock and painting a picture of something bigger, something more beautiful, something that is possible for us, versus what most people do, which is focusing on the scarcity part, the lack part that you are not doing or you are missing or you're whatever, versus, hey, there's so much more for us to do. And simple shift, I think, in angle, right, mm-hmm. Makes a really big difference for a man to feel like there's actually something to rise to versus something that they're missing, mm-hmm. right? And you're missing it, mm-hmm. but the point is where you're focusing the energy, I think, is...
And how we phrase it.
Yes, yeah.
That's a whole other and podcast episode.
Totally. But yeah, and just how you frame it, that it actually, a man wants to, actually is built for being called higher, mm-hmm. being called to more, even like the sexual organ of a man rises to the occasion, right? Like it lifts, it's like providing strength, whatever. It's like, even that, I think, in our physiology is tied to how we're built at like a spiritual level, if you will. And again, you know, speaking in some of these typical terms, but that's number one. Number two, for the man, if the man's listening to this, is humility first, because when you're talking about sexuality, and especially in our culture and the way we've been raised,
porn,
it's like a lot of ego is tied to your sexuality. And so you, for a lot of men, aren't even really willing to be willing to learn, because you feel like if I'm not performing in that area or whatever, it says something about my manhood, about my masculinity. And true masculinity is humility. True masculinity is service. True masculinity is like learning to rise to the occasion. So I think moving out of ego and not taking it personally, which is very hard in that area for a lot of men, but say, no, this really isn't personal, that, oh, she's not satisfied and it's my, don't take it personally. Say, there is something here for me to expand into, something for me to learn. When you start with that humility, then you can go into, all right, how can I learn my partner's body? How can I learn how to connect and pleasure her in all of the ways? And even understanding, a lot of dudes don't understand that like the way for a woman to truly climax isn't actually even through her sexual organs. It's here, right? Yeah, it's connecting here. It's connecting at the heart level, soul level, the intellect, all of these ways of connectivity, and then her feeling known, her feeling seen in those sexual moments, her feeling appreciated and validated, and all of those things arouses the body in other ways. I think the body is just the, it's just the shell. It's just like the outward expression of everything that's happening inward. So it's like if you could focus on her inner world, beyond her body, the body itself, you can easily, I think, tune in to the physical body if you're tuned in to her spiritual body first. So that's where I would start. But for me, it's an appetite and an actual desire and humility to learn is number one. But that comes through death to the ego for a lot of men. It has to, because otherwise you can't be willing to learn, right? Because you have to protect that. Like, no, I know what I'm doing, and I'm the fucking man. Yeah, and I got how many notches on my belt, and the bada bada boom.
So fucking gross.
It's ego. It's all.
I know. Going back around, and like getting inner world, spiritual, knowing her, like you know me. Yes, you know my body, how it works. Mm-hmm. You're usually like, yeah, right there. Don't. You know.
Yeah.
That is.
We be hitting the spot. I can say that.
This is 18 and up. Yeah. For this episode. Right. Oh, cool. let's take a pause.
What?
This section is sponsored by ShopUVA.
Yeah. Can wear them blue light glasses while you're
blue black girl blushing. Okay.
Okay.
So I think this is also really important to talk about. Nip slip, Janet Jackson.
It's all right.
As a woman.
Yes.
Who now feels known, who before was like, I was never on the like, I don't need a man train, because I just don't think that is healthy. At all. I was never on a like feminist to the point I'm not gonna fix my man a plate, blah blah blah, whatever. However, you have brought so much out of me, and we've talked about this so much. You have brought such a softness to me. I've opened up so much to this other side of myself that I don't even recognize, like wanting to have kids and da 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 da. I want to just, and I've joked again on Threads, I was like, I could write a dissertation about what is required to, and I'm gonna say soften, I don't even think that's the right word, soften a woman, but maybe that is, because I feel like we have to, a lot of us, especially black women, have to be extremely hard. We have to show up in the world like with all of our defenses up, always watching, always protecting ourselves, also showing up as a beacon for other black people, other black women, having to pave the way, having to be some type of virtue, holding, like, we just carry so much. And I know that that takes a lot as a partner to meet that energy and then be able to, like, open, I'll speak for myself, you open, meet me and open me up like a flower, like, to bloom. I also want to pass you the mic, you're wearing the mic, on some, not even tips, I just want you to expand on maybe some of the, even the challenges that we are still navigating. But I feel like you would be best to write a dissertation on what is required to meet a woman like me and be patient with her and allow her the time and the space to actually feel safe, which obviously requires a lot of movements on your part. So I want you to share about that.
Oh man, so much we could talk about there. I think one, my perspective is when it comes to strong women, that is only a part of them. It's not the whole person. And it's a part of them that they feel like they had to put forward and put all of these other parts of them back. But it's not like women are either strong or soft or gentle or firm or assertive, right? It's like, I think that they've had to protect themselves, put certain parts of them forward. So to me, it's actually more about a conversation around wholeness, like you getting to express the fullness of who you are, and some parts of you were like dormant, right? But it's not like I am making them happen. It's making space, safety, environment that allows for those dormant, even latent pieces in some people to awaken and to strengthen and to come forward because they can, alongside of the other things. And I do think when you were talking about kind of soft or blooming, that's the analogy that I think makes the most sense to me, is this blossoming, this opening, unfolding, and making room for. In an unfolding, you don't know what it's unfolding into. Mm-hmm. And so I would say if I was offering a piece for the partner who is supporting that unfolding, is you got to be committed to the process of unfolding, and also an openness to, I don't know how this is going to look, right? As I water you, as I pour into you, as I help create environments for you to thrive and find what nutrients you need to keep opening, I don't know exactly what that's going to look like. And so it's like every day you are relearning this person and learning new parts of that person and making space for all of that person. So I feel like, you know, a long-term partnership especially is falling in love with the person over and over and choosing today's version of that person as they evolve and grow. But I think that, again, is the heart of it, is a genuine desire to see this person fully expressed. Mm-hmm. And when you have that genuine desire, I think the rest of it, when you're tuned into it, comes to you. Like, oh, I feel like, you know, if you're a gardener or whatever, okay, well, it's turning yellow. Oh, it's probably too much water. Or it's probably, you know, you start to learn over time that, you know, she's not really herself right now. What does she need? Like, hey, babe, we got to get out to the ocean. You're, you know, it's like, yeah, right. But yeah, but you just start to pay attention because I think genuinely people want to, at a deep level, be their fullest self. They want to be their whole self. They want to be all of the things that they're meant to be. And so when they're not, it's like the saying that when a flower doesn't bloom, you don't blame the flower. You look at the environment, right? Like, instead of, you know, blaming the flower, like, well, you're not doing what you need to do. It's like, no, there's bigger conversations to be had. So
yeah,
that would be my starting point there.
I like that. And I guess there is, not I guess, there's so much room for me as the person who, because you have always been such a space for me to talk and share my deepest wants, desires, my pains. You have always been an open space for that. It was up to me to keep sharing it.
Mm-hmm.
Because of, I think, mostly how I was raised, like, middle child, first Caribbean daughter, like, blah, 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 blah. Like, I was raised not to cry. Like, what are you crying about? Stop your tears before I give you something to cry about. Like, that's a common line. And so that obviously shows up here. And so I didn't want to cry. I remember, like, trying to, like, cover, like, I'd be so emotional and want to wipe away my tears. I would try to hold in my tears. And something you always, like, constantly said was, like, you can cry. Like, I want to hear what you have to say. I'm listening. Some of those phrases allowed me to open up. I felt watered. I felt like you gave a shit about what I had to say.
All the shits.
And something for me on the flip side, also, actually, I would say you are a person that, like, takes things and, like, you make an immediate change. It's not like, oh, I'm gonna try to do, like, you will always try immediately not necessarily I'm trying to change you, but something that I noticed or something that hurts my feelings or something that I didn't understand, that was always super helpful for me. Mm-hmm. And so this is the podcast that you share with your partner. Mm-hmm. Something from me is like giving your partner space to share what is not working for them, what is hurting them, what is harming them, and not being triggered into ego, like, oh my God, I'm an awful person, mm-hmm. or defensiveness, mm-hmm. I think is a huge one. And as a mirror, you have helped me create a space for you, because me not having it on my own in previous relationships, not getting that space as a kid, there's no model for mm-hmm. me to do that. And I saw a post recently. It was about like, okay, women, we want to be spoiled. We're flipping this a little bit. We want to be spoiled. We want all those things. I also think that needs to be reciprocated mm-hmm. at the same time. And I think your care and concern allowed me to really see where I was not providing that mm-hmm. as well for you. Mm-hmm. And I think I have taken a lot of note in how you have treated me to bring it here for you. Because I think I know it's a two-way street as well, for us to have the relationship we want and for people to have that like holistic, free, open, we talk about everything relationship. Mm-hmm. Both of us, both people, both partners, whole union, has to make space for the other person, the space to share that hurt my feelings or me noticing you're not yourself. Mm-hmm. I've gotten out of my, like, because it's not just me, I've gotten mm-hmm. out of my own head, like, oh, Justin's not his self today. Mm-hmm. What's going on? And you would, unless you ask and actually make a safe space, mm-hmm. like, okay, he's going to tell you something. You don't know what it's going to be. He may be telling you something about your ass. Mm-hmm. That making space, I think, has been one of, if not the most important aspect of the blooming mm-hmm. for everything, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that. Well, a couple of things come to mind. One, a curiosity, this push for like, oh, women deserve to be spoiled and da 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 da. I wonder how much of that is like a pendulum swing because they've been so malnourished and like people have not adequately taken care of protected women, nourished and nurtured them. So it's like, okay, women overnourishing, and then it's like, no, you know, I'm not fixing anybody's plate and da da da, as like a pendulum swing, which it's like I hear the heart of it, but then there's just some kind of missing foundation to it. Not that you need to fix a plate, but it's like the idea that I believe if women were properly nourished, knew how to nourish themselves, knew and other people knew how to nourish them, that there actually would be a desire to meet their partner in whatever ways are nourishing to their partner, right? So I think that's kind of one. I think it's kind of a response to, y'all haven't been taken care of
at
properly.
All.
And so, anyway, that conversation needs to be had.
Right. A whole other podcast episode. Because I agree with you. Especially Black women, we mm-hmm. have not been nourished.
Right.
At all. And I want to say the nourishment and the space, like your analogy, you always like use planting and gardening. Is the environment for mm-hmm. us to feel nourished. Mm-hmm. And another key point is you nourishing the shit out of me, mm-hmm. Which takes so much energy. Mm-hmm. I appreciate you for it. And I know your intention. There's so much intentionality around you nourishing me and providing me the environment that I need to grow. Mm-hmm. And I watch you do it with me and the girls two mm-hmm. times over. Mm-hmm. Do you think that has had an impact? Actually, I feel like you've already done this, but what do you think that having the girls has helped you or given you insight on how to nourish me?
Mm-hmm. I do. I think again, I think it comes down to this posture of like learning and wanting to consistently understand the other and understand the kids, understand you, and learn from, you know, interactions with you and how to apply that to them and vice versa. Yeah, so I do think that that has been very, very helpful. And I was picturing, you know, it's like, imagine you had somebody who was consistently malnourished or did not have enough food, and then now they consistently have food and they want to just hoard it, or they're just like eating so fast because they just don't know when the next meal is coming from. I feel like that's where like womanhood is right now at like a really macro level, is like y'all been so shit on that now where you can start to nourish yourself, earn money, own thing, da 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 da. It's like you want to overdo that because it's like you don't know where that's gonna come from,
so or if people it for ourselves, and we've seen it. We can own land now. We can have bank accounts now. Mm-hmm. And we have just like absorbed it all. I can see that.
But in a way that, like, there's no balance. There's no harmony.
Almost
is
no
even a better
room
word.
For no space for other.
Yeah, as an overcompensation. Mm-hmm. You know, like hyper independence as a trauma response, right? Mm-hmm. Like that, I think is. And in a lot of ways, it's like you kind of had to. So that's where I'm like, the environment was shit, you know? Yeah. But this is not the final destination, I think, is the point that I want to make. Is like, this is not where we need to stop.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, cool. Love that y'all are doing it. And, you know, oh, I don't need
and a... we got it.
Right, and you got it.
We got it good.
Right.
I think, because I was that, working through that. So I see, I hope y'all hear me, like I see women, the hyper independence, because we had to be.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing wrong with like doing what you have to do to be where you are.
Mm-hmm.
I think right now for me is what I'm noticing is like, that is not going to get you what you want if what you want is to find a partner.
Mm-hmm.
Like that energy that you use to survive is not what's going to get you where you need, where you want to thrive with a partner, basically. Because I had to let all that shit go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or it had to evolve.
Yeah, like it had to be, oh my gosh, such, like, talking about money. Mm-hmm. Money is like a big topic for us in the beginning. And like, there's money trauma, money wounds, that whole thing, obviously. Mm-hmm. But like, like where's the money going, and like having control over the money and what's coming in. Mm-hmm. Add in, you know, us really being adventurous risk takers in the money department.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that also being such a big part of the independence and like merging that and merging the energies around like, oh no, this is also a partner over here who has this, this, and this. I'm coming with this, this, and this. How do we merge those two together? Ego, big time, has to, like, the ego wall has to come down. It's like, what do you want? Do you want a partner, or do you want, still want to be independent?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you can't have them both the way that you're trying to do it. And I think that, to me, is the question. It's like, where are you really trying to go, and is this the best vehicle to get you there? It's like, the vehicle got you from here to here, but does it really get you to here? Because I don't care.
Does it drive you up the mountain?
That's it. Or I don't really care how good of a car you have if you're trying to cross a lake.
Right.
You know, like, it could be a fucking Ferrari. Like, it does not matter.
It's not going to get you there.
It's not going to get you there. And so I think a lot of what got you here doesn't get you to the next step. And again, a lot of people are not willing to let some things die, let the ego die, and really be able to do what is necessary to become a good partner or to become whatever that is. Coming back to a part of the conversation I want to make sure I address about space making and what that looks like to actually invite your partner to share and make space for that requires the inner work. And I feel like this kind of becomes the theme, the thread of this conversation, to not take it personally, and that takes work. Like, even if it's about you specifically, like your partner is upset about something specifically involving you, it still technically is not about you. Like, you might have things that you need to do, adjust, whatever, but it's still about them and their experience, and you don't have to take that personally, like you're a bad person because X, Y, Z, right? And if you can do that, you can actually listen. Otherwise, mm-hmm. you're defensive, you're reactionary, whatever, you can't make space for it because your tears, I'm taking them personally. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, you know, you're crying, so that means I,
did
whatever.
So.
Yeah. And you can't take it personally. Like, your tears get to be your tears, they get to be your experience. We make room for it.
And
there's stuff for me to do. You know,
right.
It's like, but it's not personal. It's not personal. It's not ego. It's not like triggering the ego. And that takes a lot of work, continued work, even in the moment work. Yeah, therapy for everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, that shit's good. Yep. What else?
What else we got?
Yeah, it was good shit.
I think we covered what I wanted to cover.
Okay.
On our first episode together. Peace and love.
Peace and love.
This is Club Clinical.
Right.
And I'll see you guys for the next episode.
All right. Hold that semen, fellas. Also, real quick, sorry, is it still on?
is it still on?
Bonus material. Semen retention on a personal level for men is one of the most powerful practices that you can do. And like, yes, it affects your like sexual experience with your partner, but I'm saying even for you, like when you do semen retention and don't release that, it's like a surge of cycled creative energy. It's fucking like you get high. It gets like really, really good. And you don't feel like that tiredness when you nut, you know, like, oh, like now I'm ready, like ready to go to bed.
So, you know, people are like, oh, you know, at post nut, I'm like sleeping, like that's the world.
No, this shit light you up. It's great. And so like you can practice it in your own practice, like, which is what I recommend so that you can actually show up. It's like, you know, you practice and then you go play a game, right? It's like the practice part in your own self-pleasure and learning to hold that in, whatever, it takes time. And even practicing like that muscle, I'm doing it right now, like the Kegel.
How long do you think it took you?
Muscle.
And how'd you get so good at it?
Practice, practice, practice. No, but for me, it really is a practice like anything, like yoga, like whatever, where you start out and you need to know that like, you're not gonna be very, quote, good at it. You're gonna be a beginner, right? And I think a lot of people are afraid to be a beginner. And so it's like literally just practicing, finding that muscle and like, okay, can I hold it for 2 seconds? Can I hold it for like 10 seconds and keep breathing through? And then eventually you're practicing with your own self-pleasure. And when you're about, like when you're ejaculating, you're holding it. Sometimes it didn't work, you know? You're like literally practicing. So how long, like, I don't know, the last few years of practice for me to be where I am now.
And speaking of where he is right now.
We're in a good spot.
I want to talk about this briefly, actually, since bonus material. I think it is probably a requirement.
Talk about it.
For you, for a man and a woman. We're talking about men and women, sexual intercourse, mm-hmm. or penis, vagina.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it is a requirement for a man to be able to retain their semen, I think. I don't have a penis.
No, yeah, keep going.
To be able to go past 10, 15, I don't know, 15 minutes. Is that pot? Or like, oh, no, not even that. Like, to continue, like last night.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
For you to...
I have a flashback. It's a good time.
Great. Mm-hmm. This is 18 and now it's not 21. Yeah. This is not OnlyFans.
Right.
For you to have like continued, because there was the second time. Well, like.
Like the fourth.
Well, I meant like okay. we had intermission.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah.
Movie.
Oh, like the second.
Yes.
Yeah.
I guess mm-hmm. the first. Oh, no, actually the first time too. That was. So you had to retain then.
Yeah.
Right.
So
talk about that, because for me,
mm-hmm.
so for women, actually I'll speak for myself, and I maybe other women have the same experience. It takes longer than 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. So like if you can't.
To have at least one.
At least one. And if you're curious and you want to please your partner and serve, I don't know how men are cool. This is not a shame. Mm-hmm. It's not a shame. I just don't understand how you were okay with your partner like getting out of the bed and not like feeling fulfilled.
I understand, and it's because it's not about them. Like, you're literally there to get yours, and that's bullshit to me. Or actually, it's not even bullshit. It's actually selling yourself short, not just them. You don't, and this is what I wish men understood, is like, you taking the time to be there, please your partner, whatever, has wonderful return on investment for yourself as well, right? It's like the long game, right? You're playing the short game. You're playing like, oh, whatever. Like, bro, you got to be out here playing chess, not checkers. Like, this is just not the game you want to be playing. So to your question about, is it a requirement? Semen retention is not necessarily a requirement to longevity. It is a tool. It is a powerful practice.
Okay.
Like breath work, like whatever, is a powerful practice that can help you. The requirement for me is self-control. That's the requirement.
Don't
so can you, when you're in a moment where you're like, I know if I do this, that like I could get mine and I could be done, mm-hmm. right? What am I doing in that moment as a practice to continue or to meet my partner or to figure out what her body's doing, not just what my body's doing? So it's this tuning back in, but it requires self-control, right? And not just, well, whatever, wrapped up in the moment and like you're done. So see, I think semen retention is a powerful practice of self-control, but it's not the only. Like, okay, so session number one yesterday, I actually don't know if I had to retain. I just had to pay attention. I had to pay attention to my rhythms. I had to pay attention to like where I was. So it wasn't like a requirement of longevity then for me to retain. I just had to like really stick with it and pay attention and control myself and my like whatever impulses and keep coming back to that. So yeah.
You had said something like investment here, and that I'm thinking about last time we went to dinner, not the sex part.
Yeah.
And you made a joke, you're like, I'm protecting my investment.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that was funny.
When you're talking about like playing the long game and you're investing in like learning your partner and self-control, what types of investment, like what returns are you seeing?
The returns. The biggest and most rewarding return for me is seeing you more and more alive and you being more and more of who you are created to be and like fuller expression of who you are. And then I think the return back, if you want to separate it out, which I really just see it as one thing anyway, is fuller expression of who I am, right? That it's this beautiful kind of upward spiral or this cycle of nourishment that feeds each other in really powerful ways. So I don't even think you could possibly quantify it. But if I was looking at it as, okay, what am I getting out of it? Which I think is a very like limited point of view, but I understand is everything. Like it's fulfillment, joy, energy, expression, you know, all of the things that are important to me are natural outcomes. And I think that's maybe like, if you look at it, oh, what am I getting out of it? It just seems like you're selling it short, you know, because it's really just a natural outcome.
Yeah,
it's just like a natural, like, of course, like we were talking about early in the show about, well, if you take care of your customers really well in business, the natural outcome is revenue, profits, X, Y, Z, right? And you don't really need to worry about that shit, you know? It's just, that's what happens if you do it right and do it sustainably.
Yeah, if you had a good product.
Right.
But, you know.
But that's what I'm saying. But if you didn't have a good product, I mean, you're not taking care of your customers. Like, so, you know, you're not doing it. Yeah.
Okay.
So, that's my take.
Thank you.
There's
Thank
the bonus
you.
Material.
There's the bonus material.
Glad you stuck around.
Yeah. All right, for real. We're out this time.
Right.
Peace and love.
Love you.
Bye. We did it.
Okay, episode number one in the can.